stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Chapter 6, 2012ers, The Ancients and the Coming Chaos. The Victims of Human Sacrifice by Ancient Mayans, who threw children into water-filled caverns. Mayan priests in the city of Chichen Itza sacrificed children to petition the gods for rain. So the children were offered as a way to directly communicate with Shok, their demonic god. January 23rd, 2008. News report Reuters, with archaeologist Guillermo de Anda from the University of Yucatan. There is no doubt now. I have linked up with the Mayan power. I am explaining the Mayan power, that it covers the ancient key Mayan pyramids and temples like an invisible blanket. Page 215 to 216. Ted Owens in The PK Man. There seems to be a new wave of excitement swelling all over the world, and it only shows me how far from the truth and the Spirit of God many have gone. Many are now hailing the ancient Mayans as if they were a glorious group of spiritual masters. Many are going to the ancient temples and ruins of a people who have long been vanquished. Once again, like many, they seek spiritual presence, knowledge, and experience. It is clear they are getting what they are looking for, or are they? These spirit seekers are getting something that the Mayans themselves got. But hasn't anyone seen where that led them? Vanquished and in ruins. There's a reason for the ruins of the ancient Mayans. It seems their old civilization was wiped out, or somehow just disappeared. Many are seeking Mayan spirituality and want the prophecies that were left behind. So I have taken the time to listen to hours of talk shows, seen a number of 2012 promoting videos, movies, and bought a bunch of books, so I could see what all the buzz is about. It seems there is a very deep spiritual presence among those Mayan ruins, and some very interesting spirit-guided writings declaring future events. The Mayan calendar and its calculations are predicting the end of human civilization. The Mayan researchers are saying the prophecies of these people declare the world will end in December 2012. At the writing of this book, we are just 3 years away. You can read books like The Supernatural Serpent of Light Beyond 2012, Maya Cosmogenesis 2012, The Mayan Prophecies Toward 2012 Perspectives of the Next Age, or Daniel Pinchbeck Books 2012, The Return of Quetzalcoatl. And you will see some massive research and personal seeking has gone on. The 2012 prophecies of the Mayans are making a global impact. The sad issue, though, is the fact that most of these researchers and others haven't come to grips with who the old Mayans really were. The ancient Mayans were not a spiritually peace-loving, quiet people. They were a civilization who gave wide open doors to very powerful demon gods who led the people to massive drug use, usually for interaction with spirits or spirit vision, sexual ritual perversion of children, and a massive human sacrifice. The temples and ziggurats were not nice, peaceful cathedrals where contemplative prayers were issued, but the home of major demon gods who sought human possession and blood. Please make a note of this. Wherever you see the ancient temples, especially ziggurats, you can know that human heads have rolled and massive blood was shed. The dark gods of the Mayans were Chak, Kenich Owal, Yumul Kasab, Yum Simel, Ixtab, Kukulan, Ixchel, and of course Quetzalcoatl, demonstrate the attributes of demons. It may be that some of them were actually Nephilim, demon-human hybrids who ruled and took advantage of the people. In biblical revelation, all of these would be demon gods, much like Baals or Bel, Marduk and Moloch. Like demon gods of the Old Testament, the Mayan demon gods took from the people and gave, well, mostly took. From this dark atmosphere of demon gods, the spirit-given revelation, writings, practices, and prophecy came. From these very dark powers comes the inspiration for what are now known as the 2012 Mayan prophecies. The premise of the 2012 Mayan prophecy is that a massive catastrophe will occur, wipe out most of everything and end civilization. There are basically two streams to this thought. First, there are those who see that Mayan prophecy speaks of the end of human civilization totally. We are done, it's over, and there's nothing else. Second, the major views out there hold there will be a massive catastrophic event, and it will destroy much, but not everything. The sense is out of the catastrophic chaos will come a new humanity with a whole new future. Many I have heard are postulating a needed earth evolution, that the earth is out of balance and the spirit of the earth will cleanse itself of all the bad and start over. Well, that's one way to deal with sin, greed, and evil, but where do all the people go? Who gets to stay? What force decides who is good or evil and gets rid of the bad ones? This is the picture we get from the summer of 2009 movie with Nicolas Cage called Knowing. It is about prophecy, the end of this world, and the saving of some people to start all over. But the concept doesn't stop there. Author and radio host Whitney Strieber, who wrote Communion and other books, put out this year the new book 2012 with a subtitle that truly fits, A War for Souls. I wonder now whether or not in all the streams of Luciferians and Satanism, Mayan prophecy, the New Age belief, and occult secret societies, if the participants have seen that there is a hidden hand behind them, guiding their work and revealing a plan. This hidden hand is really the same source or presence weaving its thread among and within each of them. It would seem that among them, all the thread of thought is, the world is breaking down and a catastrophic world collapse is coming, but we believe and hope a new world is coming that will evolve humanity out of the dust of death and into an Aquarian age. If the ultimate message is the same with each of the above streams of spiritual belief, wouldn't that tell us it all comes from the same source? It's the source that is planning a massive chaos before a new world order. And that source has always been the dark, finite, demonic. Down in the jungle. This is not my story, but one which tells about a man called PK, Psychic Power Man. In his book, Jeffrey Mishlov, PhD, tells of a man named Ted Owens, who is some kind of a major psychic, remote viewer, and alien abductee, and ultimately an enhanced human. This man is said to have received psychic powers from non-human intelligences and used those powers to affect events and predict future events. In the development of the story of PK Man, we find him going down to the Mayan ruins temple to seek contact with the presence there. But what is that presence? PK Man, as Ted is called, goes to the ruins of the Mayan temple where he seeks the dark powers he is already in touch with and asks them to introduce him to the Mayan power. The story goes on to tell how PK Man does meet the dark god and sees it as a peaceful presence. Imagine that. The spirits who were there in the past are there right now. They are ready, as they are all over the world, to invite new recruits. All I can think right now is, my, what big teeth you have, Grandma. As in the past, so in the present. Going back to the Bible, the demon gods who engaged the people at some point began to seek human sacrifice. 2 Kings chapters 21 to 23 show the progressive development of Manasseh and the doors to the demonic he opened. It ends in tragedy with human sacrifice and Manasseh slaughtering his own living child. My point in all this is that the demons never change regardless of where they come from. Whether from Old Testament or the Mayan society, when the demonic gods are allowed to manifest, the blood will flow. If the doorways to these gods are found and opened again, they will seek to set up the same spiritual evolution that will end in human transmutation and blood sacrifice. 2 Kings 21 says, "He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord has said, 'In Jerusalem I will put my name.' He built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his own son in the fire, practiced sorcery and divination, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord." If you have ever dealt with a satanic chosen one and heard what they came through, you know quite well they are very versed in the details of human sacrifice. They know well how human torture, fear, and blood will bring the dark powers up and over. The how, why, and what of human blood is obscure to most, but is sought by the dark side, whether in the past or the present. You can also be sure it will be the staple of the future during the rise of Babylon. See Revelation 17-18. Innocent blood has and will be shed throughout the nation. 2 Kings 21 again. "Shed so much blood that he filled Jerusalem, the nation, from one end to end." That was 2 Kings 21. All of what was true in Manasseh's day was true among the Mayan civilization. This is now the reality among the ancient Satanic Brotherhood. They have helped produce hundreds of thousands of demonically charged super soldiers by human blood ritual. Whether in the past or present, the demons will seek human sacrifice and through it will come with powers, prophecies, and deep deception. Demon gods don't die. If you find and open their doors, they will come again. The theology of the demonic is that their nature is evil and eternal. Satan and demons don't die. Try if you want, but in the scriptures you will not find any reference to the death of demons. They can be cast out, see Mark chapter 5, sent to the abyss, a prison for very dark powers, or shut down, see 2 Kings 23, but they don't die. So as researchers and spiritual seekers look into the dirt of the temples of the ancient gods, what they don't know is that they, the same demon gods, have been waiting for new inquirers for a long time. These dark gods may have even been the ones who have been calling and whispering for new servants. And the danger right now is that many are willing to listen. The dark gods of the Mayans haven't died. They were shut down by the hand of God. They are not dead, just waiting. And if you answer their call and open their doors, they will begin again. 2012ers, beware. Resurrection of the Insurrection. So the demons don't die, and there is no resurrection for them, per se. They can be shut down, cut off, and buried, though. As in Josiah's day, see 2 Kings chapters 21 to 23, the goal was to shut all the doors by smashing the altars, crushing the idols, and destroying the symbols that were associated with the demon gods. They stopped Moloch, and the call to his followers to sacrifice their own children alive on altars to this dark god. He had to be crushed, and the doors through which Moloch came in that day were closed. This was done to close the door of interaction with them, but it didn't kill them. As we have said, the demon god was still there waiting and looking for someone to open the door again. Satanists and others who call on the dark powers and summon demons know you have to open the doors for them. They're also sure, once you do, these dogs do come. They began their transmuting work. At the Mayan temple, and among its ruins, the demons and powerful territorial gods still remain, and they have waited for someone to release them again. It is very clear to me that those who are going down to the ancient temples taking spirit summoning drugs like ayahuasca, touching the demonized objects, and reading the names of the old gods are resurrecting the insurrection, which was a god-hating rebellion. And this will lead to what it always does: human degradation and human blood. Dear reader, some doors should never be opened. Ever. It's very evident today that millions are opening these gateways, or at least answering the knocks of the old blood-lusting dark powers. Please also realize that the biblical predictions of the unprecedented rise and manifestation of demonic powers in the last days correspond to the spirit-inspired books that have been written, the hidden rituals that are done, the old and new gateways that have been opened or reopened, and the blood that is being shed, even if it hasn't been seen by the general public yet. Where did the Mayans go wrong? How does all of this start? It's similar to satanic recruiting. You get the person to come to light events, then to things darker, and finally to the heavy blood ritual. It's an incremental approach. It starts off small and then goes step by step in a darker direction. I have seen this approach begin with book authors. They have a supernatural experience. They feel led to go deeper. And then they feel guided to eventually write about it. The problem then is the doors they opened in their life are now opened up and unleashed to a larger audience. Daniel Pinchbeck, in his book on 2012, and he does this, and so does author Courtney Brown in his work on extraterrestrials. Both have their experience and engagement with a spiritual, non-human source, after which they write to tell others, and then the doors to deeper and darker experiences occur. One known author, it is vividly clear, knows how this all starts. I wish Craig Hines would have known better than to follow the call of seducing spirits. Sometimes they start with a whisper, knock, or even with a curious dream. In his book, Gateway to the Gods, a book that helps to open the door to the old dark and deceiving spirits, he tells where it began for him. Why does he do it? Like many who have been engaged with these fallen spirits, he tells us how he was led. On page 26, he reveals how it all starts. I began having some rather disturbing dreams involving a dark, shadowy entity that seemed to be stalking me. Like there was actually something else in my head making its presence known. A cold December morning at 3:04 a.m. to be precise, it seemed as if the thing actually came out of those life-altering moments. From here, Craig is led to a variety of events, research, and engagements that led him to write a book, and that book opens the doors to the dark, deceptive side of the spiritual evolution all real Luciferians hope for. One should note, it started with a dark, shadowy entity. Bloody fields and the coming catastrophe. What happened to end Sodom and Gomorrah, the Mayans, or even the Nephilim degradation of Genesis 6 was the work of the living God himself. So one has to stop the embrace of the demonic, human sacrificing, the perverted sexual damage, and bring in a real redemption that could change everything. The bloody fields of 2 Kings 21-22 were brought about by the dark spirits and fallen ones. These eternal evil non-human intelligences were and are viscerally active. They seek the corruption of humanity and broader doors to come through. They want possession, manifestation, and the ability to operate supernaturally in the affairs of humanity. When these doors are opened wide enough and long enough, the blood begins to flow and the spiritually convinced, twisted minds of the followers will knowingly, willfully, and with devotion, slaughter their children in horrific ways. This is what the demons themselves need and prescribe. So who do human sacrificing Satanists believe guided their ritual prescriptions? The designers of ancient rituals are the ones who sought the doorways so they could come to our side. It allows them to come up and over. They come through the door they crafted. Each ritual is a foot in the door of human interaction. The more rituals are done, the more human blood is shed, the wider the door and broader the grip the demonic demon gods will have on a person, group, and or an entire civilization. The Mayans were not taken over in one night. It took years, just like with the Nazi ritual ovens. And so it will be with globalism. Finally, could this be another wave of spiritual teaching that will build the critical mass, feeling, and or acceptance of a coming horrific bloodshed? Will the world say that such a chaos is needed to cleanse this old world so a new one could come? Did the demons reveal their playbook of a coming chaos among the ancient Mayan priests? If they did, It was through the practice of human sacrifice. And that always spells out the end of a civilization. Chapter 7. The Sequence of Satanic Evolution. Not enough has been said about Satan. Law Enforcement Agent Tom Wedge, page 36. The Satan Hunter. The repertoire of evil has never been richer. Yet never have our responses been so weak. So the work of the devil is everywhere, but no one knows where to find him. Page 3 and 9. The Death of Satan. How Americans have lost the sense of evil. The spirits have come out in the open. They have initiated an assault in ways that a generation ago would have seemed unthinkable. Page 61. The Coming Darkness. While we were quite accustomed to revelations from God concerning the future, whether immediate or remote, from the time of the inspired writer, we must not be startled by the thought of revelations from God concerning things in the past. Should it be thought strange that God, who knows and reveals the future, has also been pleased to reveal certain things which took place in the shadowy past? Shadowy to us, we're creatures, but containing no shadows for Him who is light, and in whom dwelleth no darkness at all. Page 53, The Invisible War. Here in the middle of the first section of this book, I need to bring an unveiling that deals with the man behind the curtain. Satan is either too weird for some to think about, or he's just too scary to look at face to face. If he didn't exist, then the full roots and fruit of radical evil is laid out at the feet of man. And that includes your toes too. Some will live in denial, but other self-affirming intellectuals will cry out with powerful reason that it's impossible that the devil is real. All the while, the sitting front and center with a weird grin is the fallen cherub. He gives the first applause in the hall of the half of brains. The one we are talking about is 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds so that they cannot see. Ephesians 2. The ruler of the domain of the air, the spirit who is now at work in. 1 John 5, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Join me, please, in taking a look at ancient scripture as it reveals not just the origin, character, and methodology of this stealth warmonger, but his active and coming agenda in the affairs of the whole world. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, we have a situation, one that is local, but typical of what's happening worldwide right now. It's the secret power of darkness supernaturally operating among Ezekiel hundreds of years before Jesus comes the first time. Take a moment to read Ezekiel chapter 8. Here are some of the factors. God is there and does know the presence of evil and what it's doing. Real old Luciferians are revealed as they live in super secrecy, summoning dark spirits and revealing in hidden rituals. They are part of a long chain of serpent worshippers who have inched their way right into the center of God's city. A fallen world of people are all around living, working, and dying. None are aware of this dark presence that operates right in their midst. They continue to be unaware of Satan's schemes. Those who did not see what was going on are the targets of this underground movement, and recruitment is ongoing. Most do not see the shadow government, shadow religion, or shadow powers that we're operating. They may have a feeling, and there may be rumors, but they have no idea there are Luciferian worshipers in the middle of the city. Those who were given the insight and a heads up were only able to see and know by the supernatural power of God. Dark presence has dark powers to cloak their activities. For now, a prophet was there, but without the aid of the hand of God, even he did not know. It is very clear that God sees and wills to put an end to radical evil like this, but there will have to be ready and willing individuals who will allow God to show them what is there and what to do. Always remember, until the time of the rise of Antichrist, the secret forms of direct serpent worship, the summoning of demons, and the long line of servants of the black flame have been, are, and will be mostly hidden or shrouded in a secret power. Until the rebellion that opens the door to the unveiling of Satan in human skin, Homo Satanas, happens. When this does occur, the largest manifestation of the domain of darkness will arrive right here, in the face of all humanity, and reign for a short time. It's all just around the corner. Running surveillance. We got tired of running around in circles as we tried to protect the federal officer's wife. She was a high-powered chosen one with sub-personalities. They continually set us up and kept us searching in the wrong direction for the perpetrators. Mary would tell us one thing, and then the sub-personalities would tell us another. We kept getting phone calls to our offices by the coven that told us to back off on whatever plans we made. It seemed that the coven knew. They were running surveillance by having other watchers watch our house, follow staff members, and get information from her sub-personalities who were watching and getting information from us. Mary's sub-personalities, who were coven loyal and others programmed to retrieve information, would call the coven members after Mary had been with us. Those personalities would then tell everything we were planning. Mary had other chosen ones that can use psychic abilities to feel what we are planning and where we were stationed. It was really uncanny how many times when we were following her or watching her apartment that she knew. Sometimes she called us and even drove to where we were parked to let us know she and the coven knew where we were. Though we learned the hard way at first, we learned what to do. God does give us countermeasures. We began to pray for her abilities to be blocked. We also stopped sharing our plans in front of her because of the sub-personalities who were listening. Then we placed a recording system in her apartment for 21 days that would be voice-activated. At the end, we got the tapes and every conversation. The primary culprits were her coven-loyal sub-personalities. She even had a small recorder herself that had a tape on it with a male voice. She would call our offices and play the tape. It was the one that warned us to stay away from Mary, that her blood and power belonged to the Circle of Dominion. When we played the tapes in front of Mary and her listening sub-personalities, a new one we had not talked to before came up. This one was mad, but defeated, and told us how much they were playing games with us and preoccupying our time. The Satanic Playbook. I have told psychologists, pastors, and police officers, we can't understand this SRA MPD issue without the reality of Satan's existence and his agenda. It's not what you believe, however Satan is real, it's what they, criminals and satanic crime, believe that makes them dangerous. That phrase was the one Tom Wedge of law enforcement repeated so many times. Most have no idea of the existence of dark powers, covens, and satanic activity, but not because it's not there. Father Jeffrey J. Stephan reveals in his book, Satanism, Is It Real?, that there may be 100,000 covens in the United States. I have no doubt this is a low number. I break down the cover-up and awareness of all this underground activity into five categories. 1. Public cover-up. Many have an idea but don't want to know the details. The details and facts are too awful and gory. So just ignore the reports and don't think about it. Maybe it's just a rumor, or it will just go away. Even law enforcement teaches officers in the police academy that they should not report the satanic details of this kind of crime. They say it will only create public panic, so keep the information buried, quiet. 2. Professional cover-up. There are those in psychiatry, education, and progressives who think the devil and demons are made-up stories of fearful, uneducated societies of the past. They tell victims who were reported these stories that it's just delusion. One psychologist I listened to here in a seminar told the participants to not talk to the subpersonalities. It only strengthens their existence and empowers them to stay around. Another psychiatrist wrote me a letter telling me not to mix psychology and religion concerning this issue. Another one says, tell the victims that memories of satanic ritual abuse are a delusion. Number 3, religious cover-up. There are those who are very versed in the Bible and believe that Satan is real, but only in the religious sense. That the old devil just teases believers and is an undetectable annoyance that you can't nail down. I had a man send me a letter stating that to talk about the devil only glorifies him. So, I guess that means that the Bible glorifies the devil, since it speaks so much about him and reveals so much about this secret power of darkness. You may have to get rid of a third of the entire Bible to do this, or just willfully stay ignorant of it. Number 4, perpetrators cover up. Drug runners and child sex criminals are masters at cover up, secrecy, and hiding in plain sight. We know there are more active drug dealers and sexual perverts than the number of those who've been caught. Perpetrators of satanic ritual abuse and crime are without question masters of masquerade, deception, and cover-up. They have the active presence of the father of lies supporting them. Secrecy is a law of underground Satanism. Threats of death, retribution, and severe punishment await those who tell. Number 5, satanic cover-up. If you believe the Bible, then you know what he and his work have done in supernatural secrecy with real supernatural power. God alone has revealed who and what this evil one is all about. Jesus himself comes and pulls back the veil on existing dark powers by his sheer presence and ministry. God has come to reveal who, what, when, and the where of this radical evil. I will emphasize in this book that God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God give the only accurate unveiling of this act of evil. It's vital to be knowledgeable and very aware of this menace. 2 Corinthians 2. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not aware of his schemes. Servant warriors. Some are ready to know and then do something about it. Ezekiel was one of them. Many books have been written to us about this subject by now, but nothing brings the impact of this act of evil more than dealing with it face to face. Ezekiel was given a supernatural look into the substructure of radical evil. I will deal in detail with this in the fourth section. As in Ezekiel 8, radical evil was there and is here as never before in human history. God knows every inch of what's going on and looks for those who will be open to knowing and doing something about it. To get a heads up on the devil and his playbook, you can read books like the many volumes of Jeffrey Burton Russell's work on the existence of the devil in public history. You can read The Franklin Cover-Up, The Satan Hunter, Secret Weapons, Is Satan Real? Or 100 other books that I listed in this work. But the best and only accurate work is in the Scripture of God that is given. Hebrews 2. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Daniel 2. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. The Satanic Playbook, exposed by the book. If you know what somebody else's plan is, you have a real advantage. An even greater advantage in this case is when knowledge of what the once anointed cherub is and is doing moves from the fallen finite mind of man and yields to the infinite awareness of God. Truly omnipresent, omniscience, and omnipotence are the ultimate weapons that will suffice in dealing with this ancient but active evil, and only God is and has this. God can and does do total surveillance on this entire dark agenda. Literally, Satan cannot plan or do anything without God's knowing. Is there a satanic master plan, a playbook? Yes. Scripture reveals it is a furious plot in Revelation 12. It is evil in control, 1 John 5. There are global goals, 2 Thessalonians 2. He has never stopped, in Revelation 18. He seeks a more opportune time, in Matthew 4. He asks to destroy Christians. He seeks to devour, 1 Peter 5. He is a murderer and father of lies, the book of John. There is a sequence of satanic evolution, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation. It's not random but planned, Revelation 19:19. He seeks the masses as part of his plan, Psalm 2. Satan has a plan, and it includes you, the world, governments, politicians, militaries, economics, counterfeit doctrine, miracles, prophets, supernatural secrecy, deception, and the coming pinnacle, the anti-counterfeit Christ, Satan in human skin. Daniel, Matthew 24, 1 Timothy 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 John 2, the entire book of Revelation speaks of it. This is only a small part of the biblical revelation. One can start with these scriptures. They will be an eyeful. Do we have even more inside information to this sequence and the evolution of that plan? Yes, we do. This is only a small part of the biblical revelation. The secret power of lawlessness is already at work in accordance with the work of Satan, 2 Thessalonians 2. The ruler of the kingdom of the air, his spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Active, willful rebellion against God. Ephesians 2. The primary drive is chaos, the Black Awakening, and then a new world order. But don't miss the ultimate reason for the chaos. It's for the creation of a new world order. And the only reason for the goal of globalism is political and military development and control. What is this all for? So he can use them en masse. That's Psalm 2 and Revelation 19:19. When Jesus is going to return, he wants to use en masse everyone for when Jesus is going to return. Whether you believe in the second coming or not, Satan knows Jesus is coming. Just like the first time, Revelation 12. All of the political, global, and military might he evolves is for one thing, and one thing in the end. The attempted annihilation of God. Don't lose sight of this as you consider satanic ritual abuse and the millions of victims of mind control and or who is behind it. This is the madness of the satanic agenda. It's what this darkness is all about and leading to. Knowing this ultimate goal will cause you to realize Satan must have a supernaturally controlled military, super soldiers, to have a controlled globalism. As you think over these points in this chapter, my question is, can you track the satanic playbook? The answer is yes, but only with a supernatural hole into this substructure of radical evil. You will need this, a deep knowledge of the biblical and prophetic revelation of God in Scripture. An active prayer life, to be experienced in the power and work of the Holy Spirit, to know and be involved in the love-compelling mission of God, and have a personal knowledge of the one who came to destroy the devil's work, that's 1 John 3, and rescue us, the Savior Jesus Christ. After all, it's not the anti-Buddha, anti-Muhammad, or anti-Quetzalcoatl who's coming to do all this. It's the Antichrist. Finally, God revealed the substructure, activity, and agenda of radical evil in Ezekiel's day. It wasn't so Ezekiel would be amazed or just educated. God reveals radical evil so we can be warned, go to work to stop it, witness to others of God's grace, embrace God and worship Him alone, engage in spiritual warfare, trust in the one who fights against radical evil and will end all of evil one day. God reveals the substructure of radical evil, as we have quoted, because the consequences are so terrible. all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.